Welcome back to episode 43 of the Guardian Project podcast. I am your host, Andy, and if I was a legendary creature, I would have partners with Starbucks. And I come into play. Starbucks can be tutored, and when Starbucks comes into play, it gives me a beverage counter of my choice that I get to use to redeem for a drink. Honestly, the end of the story is that I just miss Starbucks.
And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle. And so they've been printing all these new Apex cards, Apex of Death, Apex of Lightning, etc. All I want is Apex on my chest, okay? That's all I want.
Please listen carefully.
You have to work out for that, though. It's like a big thing.
So difficult. So difficult.
who likes to do push-ups? And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander. Just a quick tidbit. If you're looking to support us in any sort of way, we do have a TCG affiliate link located on our website, guardianprojectpodcast.com. If you're looking for any singles or sealed product with the upcoming Ikoria release, please order them through our affiliate link. It helps us out a bit, and it allows us to do some fresh new stuff. I know we have some videos that we're trying to put together, and it would help us out a lot for that. And also, if you could just subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever format you're listening to on, that would be fantastic.
We also want to thank our patrons. if you want to support us or you like what we do, you can head over to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod. And support for as little as $1 a month. We appreciate all of you who support us. We have lots of fun giveaways, like a playset of our tokens, having your commander featured on the show as Commander of the Week, or having you come on the show to be a guest. So we appreciate all of our patrons, and we love that you listen to us every week.
Love you.
What do we have on the agenda today?
This episode is all about Ikoria, Lair of Behemoths.
Wow, I had no idea it was going to be about all those spoilers.
Yeah, crazy.
In previews.
Especially since you made the agenda. That's disturbingly crazy. so we're going to talk about some of the mechanics that are coming into Ikoria, some returning mechanics and some new mechanics. We're going to talk about the Ikoria preview cards and the Commander 2020 decks. The deck lists have been fully released, so we get a full look at them. And we're going to finish off with a Commander of the Week. It's going to be a bit different this week. It's going to be kind of a brew in progress for one of our new Commander partners, correct?
Yes. We're going to talk about the Abzan partners, Nakara and Yannick, the deck that cares about counters on creatures. So we're going to talk about some fun counters and what we've put together so far for the deck and how this deck is going to work, because it's not done. We're in full brew mode still.
Figures, you're playing a non-blue deck and you still found a way to put counters in it, Andy.
I put counters. I have all the counters though. I got counters that have never been heard of. I even added cards just to have them so I could talk about them on this podcast. And they're not good counters, but counters nonetheless.
Perfect.
So let's start. We'll talk about the mechanics that are coming back or new in Ikoria. Obviously, we recorded on April 1st, and everything was starting on April 2nd. So you may have seen a lot of this, but this is our first time recording after this. But we have four main mechanics on Ikoria. Cycling, keyword counters, mutate, and companion. I'll go ahead with the first one. Cycling is a returning mechanic, which a lot of you may already know about. Cycling is you can pay a cycling cost to discard the card and draw a card. It is a very popular, I think it's a very popular mechanic. I play cycling cards in Commander decks already. And we're going to talk about all of these from the Commander standpoint. But what I did like is that there are other forms of cycling, like basic land cycling, or like a plane cycling, if you wanted to get a planes, which, as we get into the actual Commander cards, from Commander 20, count as cycling as far as rules go. So you can take advantage of cycling cards for specific lands. So I'm excited about cycling.
Yeah, seems like fun. So that's the one main returning mechanic that's existed before.
Yes.
One of the new mechanics, which we have known some things like this in the past, but nothing quite like this, is keyword counters. So keyword counters are just like plus one counters or minus one counters. But instead of giving a plus one or a minus one, it's going to give you an evergreen ability for your creature. So things like trample counters and flying counters, first strike counters, double strike counters. These will be ways to quote unquote permanently give your creatures these specific keywords. And there's tons of cards at the printing in the main set, some cards even in C20 in Commander 2020 that are printing this way, and we're going to see a new token card, just like you would have seen back in Amonkhet and Hour of Devastation, a punch out token card included in some of your packs of Ikoria.
So there's 11 of them: Death Touch, Double Strike, First Strike, Flying, Hexproof, Indestructible, Lifelink, Menace, Reach, Trample, and Vigilance. And it looks like each of the punch cards has six. Hopefully...
Yeah, with the plus one on there too.
Yes, I guess plus one counter as well. But that's, I guess, specifically for keyword counters, though.
I wonder if they're front and back, because they're the same color.
Maybe. Oh, that would make sense. All right, so I'm looking at the image right now, and it does look like the red token has Menace on one side and perhaps Trample on the other. But that's still 12, so 5, 10. Does it not account for all of them?
No, I think it does. I think it does account for all of them. I can't think of one that's not on here.
Oh, you know what? Because double strike counters are not actually in Ikoria. That is in the Commander 20 set.
I wonder if they printed a new token for that then.
Maybe. Maybe it is going to be in the set and they just haven't released it yet.
Perhaps.
I just know there's things like, you know, I'm not seeing all of the counters. Like I do see Hexproof, but I don't, and I see First Strike. Mm-hmm. And I don't see Double Strike. I do see Death Touch. I don't know. There's Reach, Vigilance.
Yeah, Double Strike seems to be the only one missing that we know of.
Yeah, that would be 11. That would be 11, yeah. And maybe that's not actually an Ikoria, and that's because they'll have something that comes in the Commander deck. I'm not sure.
Maybe you just have to put First Strike on it twice.
Okay, that's got to be it.
Yeah. That won't be confusing at all. No. Especially when you start proliferating all these counters. They have multiple Menace counters, multiple First Strike counters. It's a thing. Doesn't do anything, but it's a thing.
Right. The next mechanic is a new mechanic, Mutate. It is a new keyword that lets you combine creatures in a new way to build monsters. So they talked about this as being the Build Your Own Monster set. And Mutate is that mechanic. So you pay a mutate cost, and it says if you cast the spell for its mutate cost, put it over or under target, and then it has whatever the requirement is, under or over a creature, and then they mutate into one creature, so it becomes the creature that is on top, and then all of the abilities from everything that's under it. So if there's creatures with an ability like Vigilance or Reach already mutated, and you want to put something new out, if you want to put it on top, you get the base power and toughness of the creature that's on top, and then the abilities of all the creatures under it. From what I've been reading, it really looks like you want to put the creature with the biggest power and toughness on top, and then everything else under is what it seems like. Because
very niche instances when you're holding a card that says destroy all creatures with power blank or more, that you would want to do it the other way around.
Right. You know, from the example that was posted on the actual article explaining all the mechanics, there's two creatures. There's a Cloud Piercer, which is a 5/4 dinosaur with reach. And an ability that says whenever this creature mutates, you discard a card. If you do, draw a card. And then there's a beast on there that is a 2/4 with vigilance. So you either get a 5/4 with reach, vigilance, and whenever this creature mutates, you may discard a card and draw a card, or you get a 2/4 with the same abilities. So it seems like maybe in very small instances, you'd, like, I guess if you have destroy target green creature, I guess, then it would matter. Because it's the creature on top with the abilities of the ones below it. So I guess there's, yes, there's specific instances, but it just seems like you want the biggest power and toughness on top.
In most cases, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah. So this is cool. And obviously there are two vanilla creature examples, and there's a lot more intricate creatures that we'll talk about, because we're going to talk about the Apex monsters to cards from Ikoria and Commander 20. But Mutate does seem very interesting. There have been a lot of questions about what happens when you blink this creature, and what happens if you kill the creature on top. Is it like Bestow? Do the creatures below it become creatures? And it until we actually see all of the rules announced and this fully fleshed out and all the questions answered, I don't know if I want to even tackle that, because I know I'm wrong.
there are a couple that have been answered already.
Okay.
If you did live and play Magic around the time of Bestow, it is Mutate is an alternate casting cost. So even in the Commander worlds, the alternate casting cost, you can cast it from your command zone, but it does also include command tax, since it is a casting cost.
When does matter for some of those Apex monsters.
Absolutely. So when a card is mutated with another card below it and you blink it, it comes back with all of its mutations. It all counts as one creature.
Okay.
The mutations don't drop off the same way that a Bestow would. If you cast a Bestow onto another creature and that creature is removed from the game in some way, shape, or form, as you try to resolve your Mutate creature comes down as its own creature instead. So those are the rulings that I have read. I'm 99% sure that they are confirmed, so you can take it to the bank, and I'll give you a refund if not.
Wonderful. I heard the second one today when I was listening to a few podcasts, and I was reading some articles on the, well, if I try to put my, Cloud Piercer under my, my Apex monster, and that monster is destroyed, then the Cloud Piercer just comes in as the creature it is. So... Right.
Oh, and I guess the other one would be, a lot of these creatures say, when this creature mutates, do this. And there is confusion on if it doesn't already have that text on the board and you mutate a creature in that has that text, it will trigger that text the first time that it comes in.
Okay. So, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I can see why that would have been confusing.
Yes. It was for me, because it was I was building around, we'll talk about it later. I was building around one of the new Abzan creatures that has Mutate, and
we're both building Abzan.
I know.
It's kind of mind blowing that you and I are both interested in the same color.
It's much less mind blowing for me. I mean, it's a graveyard deck, so.
And mine's a deck with counters.
Yeah, so it's like they both fit our like two of our favorite themes, but they just happen to be the same color.
Do you want to tackle our last mechanic?
Yeah, so the last mechanic is also a new mechanic. It is the companion mechanic. So there's going to be 10 companions printed in Ikoria. Each one is a legendary creature that has this deck building restriction as part of the companion. And what this allows you to do is, if your deck meets this building constriction,
restriction. We just made a word, constriction.
Constriction's a real word.
It is a real word, I guess, but it didn't seem like it fit here.
I guess it's a restriction.
If you use bind in Pokemon, the Pokemon is constricted. So you're being bound in Magic by an Onyx.
You're being bound. Restriction by rules? I don't know. Either yes. way, these companions have this these special ways you have to build your decks in order to use them as a companion. And what that means is that they are actually part of your sideboard. There has already been rulings that say companions are going to be legal in Commander, besides one. And as long as your deck meets these restrictions, you can play this card as your 101st in Commander or as one of your 15 cards in your sideboard for any other format. Some of the restrictions are going to be each deck contains only cards with converted mana cost 3 or greater and land cards. So they're very, very restrictive. And the one companion that's banned is actually a blue-red otter, elemental otter, Lutri.
It's my lightning otter.
It is
elemental otter.
It is banned in Commander and Brawl because its deck building constriction is all non-land cards in your deck have a different name. Man, would that be hard to build around.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, while we're on that, you know, the official Commander website at mtgcommander.net, they did announce it. It was a very short announcement. They said, we've never banned a card before its street release, but we feel strongly compelled to do so for Lutri. It's unlike any card really in Magic's history. While they're firm believers in giving cards the opportunity in the format, it's clear that this would almost be banned immediately anyway. It doesn't have an opportunity cost. You don't really have to sacrifice anything in the 100 to play it. Meaning, if you have the card and you're playing blue-red, you can just make it card 101. They said it becomes a thing they're not fan of as a must-play, and they don't want people to spend money on it, thinking that it might actually remain legal. So, because of that, he gone.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's got the same ability as a Naru Meha to copy an instant or sorcery that you control on the stack, and it's a flash speed otter. You can still use this card as your commander. Or no, it's banned in Commander completely.
No, banned totally. Yeah, banned they don't totally. Do banned as they don't do That's banned right. as commander, and they don't do banned as command companion.
Yeah. So it is I mean, honestly, it would just be an all around better Naru Meha because you get two colors, and I think it even costs one less mana. So
well, this is the same thing actually as it's the card that I use in Feather.
Dualcaster Mage?
Dualcaster Mage, basically. Same CMC really, except you can use blue instead if you want.
Right.
And that's the same CMC. And it might even be a 3-2. I can't remember if it's a 3-2, but it also has flash, and you can it's just crazy. It's crazy. But I'm sad I won't be able to use this. I wish this artwork was on a different card so I could use this card. It's art. But I don't disagree with that. You know, it is what it is. There was a companion that was previewed today that I like. Kahira, the Orphan Guard. Mm-hmm. It's a 3-2 for one, and then Selesnya, so either green, white, or green-white. And it says each creature in your deck, each creature card in your deck is a cat, elemental, nightmare, dinosaur, or a beast. It's a 3-2 with vigilance that says each other creature you control that's a cat, elemental, nightmare, dinosaur, or beast gets +1/+1 and vigilance. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. I like, I think there was some story behind that when that card got released about how, like, when a hunter goes out and hunts a parent, it leaves behind an orphan, and this is the Orphan Guard. So,
oh, there are a bunch of little baby things around it, and I see it. I betcha that's all of them.
Yep.
A dinosaur.
But honestly, I thought you were going to be talking about Gigantha, the Wellspring, the elemental elk companion that got released. Maybe it didn't get released today, but
although
yesterday.
It does work really well with my Niv-Mizzet deck.
I was thinking about that because, you know, I have I have two other five color decks as well. And one of them kind of fits the theme with my Morophon Everything tribal deck.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm thinking about some of the cards that it would have to cut. And that deck doesn't, for all those legendary cards, there's probably only two or three, maybe four that generate card advantage. So I have to play like the top end card advantage enchantments that I can in that deck. And one of them is Necropotence. I'd have to cut that as well as I can't think of his name right now.
What's it?
Kamal's Druidic Vow. I would have to cut.
Oh, that's X green green, right?
Yes.
I have a few cards in my Niv-Mizzet, the Reborn deck, that I'd have to cut, like Time Wipe, I think is. Mm-hmm. It's either blue, white, or white, blue. I can't remember which generic, so that would have to come out. Supreme Verdict would have to come out. There's a couple of, pretty much the the board wipes in that deck would have to come out or change to a different one. There are other options,
right,
that are in two colors. So that's not that big of a deal. But this one, yeah. So I guess before we go too far, Giganta the Wellspring is four and then Gruul. So either white or red or green. And it says no card in your starting deck has more than one of the same mana symbol in its mana cost. So white, blue, black, red, green. You can't have a card that's like white, black. It has to be white, black. Or generic. Generic's fine. But then it's a 5/5 legendary elk that has tap to add white, blue, black, red, green to your mana pool. And then you can use that for anything except to pay for generic mana costs. So it can only pay for those individual colors. It's pretty good as card 101 in a deck.
Yeah, I mean, in a Jota, Fist of Suns type of deck, I mean, it works perfectly because you pay Wooburg instead of the casting cost.
Right.
But yeah. It's a deck restriction, so we'll see if it works out. I know some people have been thinking that Niv to Light is a modern deck that's seeing play right now. It's been seeing play for a while. I think it's actually coming up in popularity again, at least a little bit. And even Niv-Mizzet is seeing play in Pioneer now, and people are saying that this card might bring it up to the next level. But at the same time, the restriction taking away Supreme Verdict, like you said, and Finale of Devastation is actually another card that it likes to play in that deck. Being unable to play with those cards might be too much of a restriction. So I am curious to see how much of these companions actually see play at a competitive level, both in Standard, Modern, Pioneer. And you know, I think Commander, that's just going to be some fun things maybe to build around. I've been trying to break some of these companions in my free time, and it's not working. So
I mean, of them, it seems like the Boros one today is the one that's easiest to break, to go infinite potentially with.
Probably. It's interesting because the Boros one makes it so your activated abilities cost two less to activate. So you basically get a training grounds.
And it says each permanent in your starting deck has to have an activated ability.
Which I think is very interesting because that means you can't play training grounds in your deck.
Well, that's a blue card and this is white.
Well, yeah. So I know one of the people in our Discord was mentioning a Kenrith, the Returned King, activated abilities deck. Zerda the Dawn Waker is this Boros card we're referring to, would fit within that, but you cannot play Training Grounds in that same deck because Training Grounds does not have an activated ability.
Interesting.
You can play Biomancer's Familiar, though. It does have an activated ability.
I'm interested to see what happens with these. They definitely said that they were not necessarily built for Commander. But right. They made an exception that Companion will work with Commander. So we'll see how often these appear in Commander. Who knows? Obviously some might be seen more than others, but none of them particularly stand out like I'm absolutely going to build around it. If I already have a deck that fits with it, I think I'll just throw it into the, you know, Companion zone.
Yeah, if it fits.
Then you
must acquit.
No,
the Chewbacca defense.
That's oh, you want to talk about some cards from Ikoria first? We can do Ikoria and then we'll do some Commander 2020.
Sure. I think definitely already got a head start with talking about these companions.
Yes. So obviously companions we were going to talk about a couple of cycles. The three that I wrote down was Apex Monsters, Companions, and then Ultimatums are back. So let's go ahead and start though with Apex Monsters. So I don't know if you've read yet, but there is the Ikoria, like the backstory of like the world. And so we're getting the wedge colors back. So previously known as, you know, Temur, Abzan, Jeskai, Sultai, and Mardu. And I'm not 100% sure if the names are just going to be different based on the worlds or like they're called triomes in Anacoria. The triomes are like the five different worlds that have different mana flowing through them, called Savi, Ketria, Indatha, Rogrin, and Zagoth. But each of these like lands are ruled by an apex monster, and all of them have mutate, and they're all pretty cool. So we can go through them one by one.
Sure.
You know, I'll start with Snapdax.
Yeah.
So apex of the hunt.
Yeah, Snapdax, apex of the hunt. He is our so all these guys are wedge colors. So this particular wedge is called Mardu, which is black, white, and red. So for black, white, red, and one, you get a 3/5 double strike dinosaur cat nightmare that says when this creature mutates, it deals 4 damage to target creature or planeswalker an opponent controls, and you gain 4 life. Its mutate cost is 2 generic, and then a hybrid black, red, and then white, white. So... Mm-hmm. Double strike, 3/5 body, you know, you mutate it onto a 9/9 trampler so that you get a 9/9 double strike trample creature and you're good to go.
Yeah. And then when it mutates onto it, it still deals the 4 damage and you gain 4 life.
Yeah. I mean, drain 4 is amazing. It you know, there was talk about how these mutate costs might actually cost less than the regular casting costs. And I think I've only seen like one or two instances of that. Majority of the time, they cost more to mutate.
Yeah, on all of these, they're either more or they're the same, but are different colors, I guess. In one of the instances, they're different colors from the original, even though it is the same CMC. And I guess maybe we could jump to that one next, which is Brokos, Apex of Forever.
Oh yeah.
So it's 2, this one is Sultai, 2 black, green, blue for a 6/6 with trample that says you may cast Brokos, Apex of Forever from your graveyard using its mutate ability. And its mutate ability is 2, a hybrid blue-black, and then green-green. So it still costs 5, but this time it costs 2 greens specifically.
Yep.
But you can cast it from your graveyard, and I did read a ruling on this that you do have to have a creature on the battlefield to mutate onto. So if there's no creatures, you can't cast this for its mutate cost from its graveyard unless you have a creature out.
Makes sense.
Makes total sense. So again, same style. It's a big old creature that has some cool abilities, but can be mutated. But this one can come back from the graveyard, which is very Sultai.
Yeah, and I even think the Sultai Commander deck is based around mutate. And even though this one doesn't have a specific when this creature mutates, it'd be nice to just, you know, have it come back and forth from your graveyard then onto the battlefield. So
and it gives trample to whatever you want to have trample. Or
absolutely,
you could put this on top if you have a creature out that has haste.
Yeah, I know that. Night Pack Predator, is that the card? It's like 1 black. I think you play it in Lazav. It has haste and lifelink.
Is it the 1/1 for one? Yes. Yeah. I don't know if it's called Night Pack Predator, but it's a 1/1 with haste and lifelink, I think, for one. It might just have haste, but
yeah. So you can go get a 6/6 haste lifelink trample when you get this thing out of your graveyard and go to town. Mm-hmm. If it's your commander, you're avoiding commander damage. It's awesome. All right. I am going to, at risk of not being able to explain this one if you steal it from me, I'm going to jump straight to the Abzan.
You got it. I was not going to take that one from you.
So I believe I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Nethroi, Nethroi, Apex of Death is the Abzan Apex. So it's for 2, a white, a black, and a green. You get a 5/5 cat nightmare beast with Death Touch and Lifelink that says, whenever this creature mutates, return any number of target creature cards with total power 10 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Its mutate cost is 4 generic, a green-white hybrid, black-black. So I definitely dig that the mutate cost is double black, so black is the heaviest part. It is all about the graveyard, and the way I'm looking at this card and trying to build around right now is like having just the right pile that you would have from a Protean Hulk, because you get 10 power rather than 6 CMC is what Protean Hulk has, which you can abuse heavily with 0 power creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still finding the right pile where I can kill everyone with a Gray Merchant returning like 20 creatures to the battlefield all at the same time.
With all the black pips.
Yep.
Do the black pips count when a creature is mutated? I don't think it does. I think it is this creature with the abilities below it. So I don't know if pips would count
nope.
below it.
Probably not, but I'm going to return 10 power worth of creatures from my graveyard. And
correct. Yeah,
six of them will be zero power.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, totally get it. And this is the commander that you're working on.
Yeah, I am working
as the
on,
commander.
I am. I'm going to find my degenerate piles first and then start putting in a bunch of dredge and self mill. And hopefully no one hits me with a Bajuka Bog. Otherwise, I scoop.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about this one. I will do. All right. I'll take Jeskai because I like Jeskai. This is Vadrok. I think it's Vadrok. Mm-hmm. Apex of Thunder, and it costs blue, red, white. So cost 3. So the cheapest of all of these. For a legendary elemental dinosaur cat, that is a 3/3 with flying and first strike. And whenever this creature mutates, you may cast target non-creature card with CMC 3 or less from your graveyard without paying its mana cost. Of the Apex monsters, I think this one is the one that I like the most. I like playing things for free.
Oh yeah.
And flying in first strike in blue, red, white seems really good. And then it also has mutate for one generic hybrid white, blue, and then red, red. So its mutate is only 4. So it does have a very cheap mutate cost. I think this one will be played.
I think it'll be played in standard. For sure, I think all of these Apexes will be played in Commander.
Yes.
I'm kind of scared for this particular card in Standard in a Jeskai Super Friends deck. Because we know we saw Narset get revealed today or yesterday. And then this Vadrok actually has the opportunity to get back your 3 fairy from the graveyard after someone kills it. And
Or your 3 Narset.
Yeah. I mean, it's, it seems a little scary to me. And I mean, a 3/3 flying first strike for 3 mana is great
value.
Good.
This was a card. It cost Jeskai, and I think it was a 3/3 flying haste.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from Khans of Tarkir. It was in the Jeskai, obviously in the Jeskai order. I can't remember what it's called, but it's very much like that. But this just has a bunch more stuff stapled on it.
Right.
So, and that I know that card was being played in Pioneer for a bit. So maybe this would be played in Pioneer. Who knows?
Yeah, definitely. All right. The last Apex we have on the list is Illuna, Apex of Wishes. This is our teamer Apex. So for 2, a green, a blue, and a red. You get a 6/6 beast elemental dinosaur with flying and trample. It says, whenever this creature mutates, exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land permanent. Put that card onto the battlefield or into your hand. You mutate for 3 and a hybrid red-green and blue-blue. So, free spells?
Free spells. I love it.
So it's... until you exile a non-land permanent. So, I mean, you could abuse this by playing one permanent in your deck. One non-land permanent, and you're going to get it every single time you mutate.
So it will be a non-land permanent. So it can't be... Do you play Omniscience? But what do you win with then?
Well, every other... non-land card in your deck, so instants and sorceries. You're going to need some instants and sorceries to create creatures.
Cards.
Well, draw cards, yes, but you have to create creatures to actually mutate onto. So like Cranko's Command to get 2/1/1 goblins or something just to have something to mutate onto. I mean, it's teamer, so we already seen cards like Maelstrom Wanderer built this way to just kind of do a degenerate thing, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, you lose, and you just kind of sit there while everyone else plays the game. I'm sure someone's already brewed something up for it, and I know Commander's Quarters is actually what I'm referencing when it comes to that Maelstrom Wanderer list, so I'm sure he'll come up with something for this guy too.
100%. No, I'm excited for this. I'm excited for, honestly, I don't dislike any of them. I think these are, obviously people are going to play around these, and I'm looking forward to seeing a shakeup in Commander, because we are getting what looks like a ton of legendaries, although it does feel that way because we're getting both Ikoria and Commander at the same time.
For sure.
So we're going to get flooded with a bunch of legendaries, including these companions, which are also legendary.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess quick note on those companions. If you use them as your commander, you do not have to follow their companion deck building restriction, or if you use them in the 99, you don't have to follow that restriction. They do have some good abilities just on them inherently.
Yeah. And then the last cycle, which have not all been previewed, is the ultimatums are back. So, and by back, I mean we're going to finish out the cycle of ultimatums that were never finished during the Alara block.
Yep.
So cards like Cruel Ultimatum previously, or Brilliant Ultimatum, Violent Ultimatum, Clarion Ultimatum, they're all spells that do big splashy things, but they cost a lot of mana and they have a lot of specific pips. So they're all 2/3/2, meaning you pay 2 pips of one color, 3 of the second, and 2 of the third. So we can go through the 3 today. The one, honestly, that I like the most is the Abzan one. Eerie Ultimatum costs white, white, black, 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 green, green. So 7 mana in those specific colors. It's a sorcery that says return any number of permanent cards with different names from your graveyard to the battlefield. So all-star in Commander, because, oh, yeah. You know, we have all of our cards have different names, obviously except our basic lands. But this specifically says any number of permanent cards with different names. So if you do have some of those basic lands in your graveyard, you do get to also get those basic lands back. I love it.
Yeah, you can even abuse that a little bit more, even with the basic lands, by playing like basic swamp and then snow covered swamp. You know, those have 100%. Two different names. So
yep.
Take use of it. So the Saltai one that has been released is Emergent Ultimatum. It's black, black, green, 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 blue, blue. It says search your library for up to 3 monocolored cards with different names and exile them. An opponent chooses one of those cards, shuffle that card into your library. You may cast the other cards without paying their mana costs. Exile Emergent Ultimatum. So this can be abused pretty hard. I mean, it's somewhat like a tooth and nail entwined. Tooth and nail entwined would allow you to search for 2 creature cards and put them in your hand, and then also take 2 creature cards from your hand and put them onto the battlefield. They don't necessarily have to be the cards you tutored for, but they probably will be. So Emergent Ultimatum forces you to put together basically what is an intuition pile where you put 3 cards out, an opponent chooses one, you're going to get 2, and the other one gets shuffled away. So, you know.
But you get to cast these as opposed to
putting them on the battlefield. So anything that would have a cast trigger.
The other intuition just puts them into your hand.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, no, this is way bigger, obviously, but it's way more restrictive. That costs 3 mana. This costs 7 in 7 specific colored pips.
Yes, and it does say monocolored. It does not allow you to do colorless, so you can't pick out 3 Eldrazis and get 2 of their casting costs from it, which is good.
So you get what do you get? You get 3 spells that cost or that do the same effect, right? So when I play intuition, I'm generally grabbing 3 tutors that make it so that I don't have to. If I'm playing obviously a competitive game, which is the only deck that I have intuition in, mm-hmm. I grab 3 tutors that say you give me a tutor and then I don't have to allow you to stop me from doing what I want because I grabbed 3 tutors that do the same thing.
Yep.
in this, I guess you just grab your biggest, splashiest things and good luck. Pick the worst.
I mean, you get Avenger of Zendikar, Craterhoof Behemoth, and then hopefully there's something else that does something. Oh, how about Purphoros if you're playing like 4 color or something like that?
Yeah, because then they're going to want to get rid of Purphoros so you don't get the other 2 Purphoros.
It's like, I think they have to get rid of Avenger then, which means you get a Craterhoof and a Purphoros. Because if you get Purphoros and Avenger, then you're probably dead. If you get Craterhoof and Avenger, you're probably dead. So
Even though they don't have haste, as long as you have enough lands. Yeah.
I'm sure there are better combinations out there, but that's what's on top of my head.
And then the last one that was spoiled today is Ruinous Ultimatum for red, red, white, 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 black, black for a sorcery that says destroy all non-land permanents your opponent's control. So late game, you know what? I don't want you to have anything other than your lands. Let's just get rid of all of it.
That's pretty great.
It's pretty great. So there's two that have not been spoiled yet. So we have not seen the Temur or Jeskai. So blue-red, green, or red, white, and blue. So those ones are likely coming this week. I believe all previews are supposed to be done by the end of the week.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, I think by the end of this week we'll know. I mean, right now it looks like we're at over half now. So we'll see some new cards. So that, I think those are the ones we wanted to talk about as far as Ikoria goes. Did you have any other honorable mentions or cards you wanted to mention that are from Ikoria specifically and not Commander 20?
Yeah, so I really like the card, I know we've talked about it a little bit, Voracious Great Shark for Standard. It is a 3BB 5/4 shark with flash that says when Voracious Great Shark enters the battlefield, counter target artifact or creature spell. So when I first started playing Standard, it was Amonkhet Standard, and Torrential Gearhulk was still in the meta, which allows it when it's basically a like a Snapcaster Mage, but it's for 6 mana, 4BB when it enters the battlefield. You may exile an instant from your graveyard and cast that card. That was kind of the top end for a mono blue control. And I'm wondering if this Voracious Great Shark, which it does cost 1 mana less, it's a little bit less specific. It doesn't take an instant from your graveyard, but it does do a counterspell, which is typically what you're going to be doing with the Torrential Gearhulk. Sometimes if your opponent doesn't cast anything, you just want to get it back out, you get a card draw off of it. But this might be the top end for Simic Flash. It kind of fell out of favor a little bit, but this might be the top end that it needed to get back into favor. And so when I'm playing on Arena, I'm going to try to brew either a mono blue or a Simic Flash version with this as the top end.
Right. You know, the hard thing here is there's so many multicolored and splashy spells in this set. I mean, I could talk about every single one of these cards all day long.
Oh, for sure.
But I guess the other one that was also spoiled today is Song of Creation for 1, a blue, a green, and a red. It's an enchantment that says you may play an additional land on each of your turns. Whenever you cast a spell, draw 2 cards, and at the beginning of your end step, discard your hand. I feel like that will actually do things.
Oh, yeah.
It seems really fun, especially if you're like, well, I already empty my hand up because I play a lot of ramp or something. Then do you care if you have to discard your hand whenever you cast that one spell you drew, you draw 2 more? I don't know. I like this card. I like the way that it was built, and it seems like it's going to do stuff.
For sure.
You want to move on to Commander?
I'm like really excited to talk about these 2020 deck lists.
Yeah, the problem here is, well, I guess, so my favorite thing about these is that we're getting Partners With back. I think Partners With was a fantastic mechanic. I've seen both arguments for and against it, and I've seen arguments for and against regular Partner. I like Partners With because I like to just have 2 commanders in the command zone, and until they change the rule about commander sharing a commander tax, I like having 2 different options.
For sure.
for selfish reasons. So with each of the decks, they do come with their own Partners With commanders. I guess we can go through all of them. We don't have to talk about each of them. And we're going to go through the 1 Partners With pairing at the end because it's a deck that I'm actually building. But we can go through each of them, mention what they are. So the first one is Yannick Scavenging Sentinel and Nakara Lair Scavenger. This is the Temur Partners With commanders. basically, these cards care about counters. Nakara Lair Scavenger has whenever another creature you control leaves the battlefield, if it had 1 or more counters on it, you draw a card and lose a life. She's a 2/2 with menace for 2 and a black and is a human cleric, and she partners with the other creature that is a 3/3 hyena beast for 2, a green, and a white. Yannick Scavenging Sentinel that has vigilance and when it enters the battlefield, exile another creature you control until Yannick leaves. When you do, put X 1/1 counters, plus one counters on any number of target creatures where X is that creature's power. I really like the way that they built these, and they seem to work. I mean, these definitely partner well. Obviously, they wouldn't partner badly, but it's. I don't think we've seen something like this before. Exile it, and then you distribute counters. But I like the idea of Nakara because there's a lot of redundancy in cards that already have when a creature dies, you draw a card and lose a life. Mm-hmm. That slot into this deck well.
And I'm sorry, what colors did you say those were?
Abzan, black, green, and white.
Gotcha. Yeah. So the partner commanders from the Sultai deck, Sultai is the enhanced evolution deck with Otrimi, the ever playful, which is like the cutest nightmare beast creature they'll ever print in Magic, I'm sure. So the two pairs for that is, sorry, I just had it. There's a white, black and blue, Ukima, Stalking Shadow, which is a, for one, a blue and a black, a 2/2 whale wolf with partner with Kazur, Ruthless Stalker. So Ukima, Stalking Shadow can't be blocked, and when it leaves the battlefield, it deals X damage to target player, and you gain X life, where X is its power. And the partner of Kazur, these are not in alphabetical order, which is making me difficult for me. Kazur, Ruthless Stalker, for 3 and a green, it's a 3/3 human warrior. It says whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, put a +1/+1 counter on that creature. So obviously they pair up well with each other. Unblockable when it does damage, gets a +1/+1. If it ever leaves the battlefield, you can do some damage to someone. But I know that the blue black creature. I'm sorry, I am struggling so hard right now. Ukima.
Words.
Just with Ukima, Stalking Shadow fitting into like a Yuriko deck or something like that, where you can ninjutsu it out since it's unblockable to get Yuriko in, and then when it leaves the battlefield back to your hand, it actually does its blink damage. So I know a lot of Yuriko decks, they might not be playing like extra turns Yuriko, but they might be doing tempo Yuriko, and this is just another 2 damage every single time that it happens. And it's drained because you get to gain the life as well. It seems like that particular card is going to fit in a lot more places than its partner.
I agree. I mean, Kazur seems like it fits into decks that already care about +1/+1 counters, so works well without the Sultai partner.
Yep. But maybe you play the Sultai partner just to have 3 color and play Kazur? I don't know.
Sure, but I think, yeah. No, I agree. These two fit very well in decks that don't care about each other as well. The next pair is Teemer. I'll do Teemer. Paco, Arcane Retriever, and Halden, Avid Arcanist. Oh, that's not it. Avid Arcanist. Wow. That's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
So Halden is a 1/4 human wizard for 2 and a blue that partners with Paco and has when you may play non-creature spells from exile with fetch counters on them if you exiled them, and you may spend mana on them as though it was mana of any color. Paco says is a 3/3 with haste for an elemental hound that costs 3, a red and a green, that has when he attacks, exile the top card of each player's library and put a fetch counter on them, and then I put a +1/+1 counter on him for each non-creature card exiled this way. So the Paco attacks, and then Halden can cast those cards for free as Paco gets bigger for each non-creature card exiled that way, and you don't have to care about the mana color. So I think it's pretty cool. I didn't get my fetch counters where I throw things at my opponents, but I like this, and it reminds me of cards like Atali, the primal storm, where you exile things and then can cast those for free. Well, this is you can cast them. Obviously, there's some more hoops to jump through, mm-hmm. But it's giving Teemer the ability to do that in the command zone. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. For the Mardu commander deck, so when they announced the Mardu commander, how it was going to be a human tribal, and I know that when Mara was doing some discussions about some of the different tribes or some of the different, I guess, races on Ikoria, they were talking about how there were some humans that work with the monsters and some humans that do not work with the monsters. And when this deck got released as a human tribal, I assumed this was human hunters, and I was right. And I said, well, how are they going to do the partners then? Because every partner happens to be a human and a non-human. Well, this is how they did it. So Trin, Champion of Freedom, and Silvar, Devourer of the Free, is how they're doing partners. So these, I guess, like are more like nemesis partners than they are that partners that work together. So Trin, Champion of Freedom, is 3 and a white. You get a 3/3 human soldier. It says at the beginning of your end step, if you attacked this turn, create a 1/1 white human soldier creature token. And Silvar, Devourer of the Free, is a 4/2 for 3, a black and a red, that has menace and sacrifice a human, put a +1/+1 counter on Silvar. It gains indestructible until end of turn. So
I feel like this is like Jurassic Park. And so she's like putting a creature out into the wild. She's like, oh, go be free, human. And then it's like, Monch. I feel so bad.
Yeah, go be free.
And poor humans.
To be eaten.
To be eaten by my best friend.
Yeah. Except your best friend can also eat your partner.
I mean, it can eat the partner.
Yeah, Silvar, sure can.
How many times in Commander is Silvar going to eat Trin? Probably a fair amount of times, I assume.
Every time someone board wipes just to give Silvar yes. Indestructible.
100%. Silvar is going to, when that Wrath of God comes down, Silvar is like, you know what? I'm just going to eat real quick. And then I'm not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
sad. How sad. I do like this pair, though. They made it work. I don't have a Mardu deck at all. This actually does seem fun, but it is a token deck. There are a few cards in this deck that fit with humans. I have a Sigarda green-white human deck that I don't want to tear apart, but mm-hmm. adding another color and adding red and black and removing the green also seems interesting. So I'll have to play around with it because I'm sure there's a decent amount of overlap in the deck that I have. I'm excited. This one's cool. And then the last one is Jeskai. You've got a Sky Shark and a Sky Shark Rider. Bralin Sky Shark Rider is a 3/3 human for 3 and a red that says whenever you discard a card, you put a +1/+1 counter on Bralin Sky Shark Rider and it deals 1 damage to each opponent. And then has the ability to pay red to give a target shark trample. And then Shabraz, the Sky Shark, is a 3/3 shark bird for 3 white and blue.
Fucking shark bird.
Shark bird. And it says whenever you draw a card, put a counter on Shabraz, a +1/+1 counter on Shabraz, and you gain a life. And then you pay a white or a blue hybrid to give a human flying. So they're just gonna give each other trample and each other flying. And these ones work really well together. So this fits really well into like wheels decks or making a wheel deck out of them. And you can play with a Sky Shark. I mean, you're like, I cast my Shark Bird. Okay, so I win. Shark Bird.
Shark Bird. Hoo ha ha.
I did say that a few times, and that's what I would name this deck.
So very fitting that this is in the cycling deck for sure.
To be honest, I'm more excited about the partners with than the face commanders. So we can go through each of them real quick as well. I'll let you pick so I don't take one of the ones you want to talk about.
Yeah, because I'll be honest, as much as I am excited about the Abzan Apex creature that's being printed in the Ikoria set, I'm not excited for the Abzan face card for the Abzan commander deck. So I'm going to start with Sultai, which is typically my color combination of choice. I have Otrimi, the ever playful. So for 3 black, green, blue, you get a 6/6 nightmare beast that has trample. And whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, return target card with mutate from your graveyard to your hand. And its mutate cost is 1 black, green, blue. So its mutate cost is actually less than its casting cost. And this deck is all about dat mutate.
and is the only mutate on the face commanders from Commander 20. So I will do Kalamax the Storm Sire, a 4/4 for one green, blue, red. For an elemental dinosaur, 4/4 that says whenever you cast your first instant spell each turn, if Kalamax the Storm Sire is tapped, you can copy that spell and choose new targets. Whenever you cast an instant spell, or I'm sorry, whenever I copy an instant, you put a +1/+1 counter on Kalamax. So it gets bigger and copies spells if you've been swinging with them. Interesting. I like that. Seems like fun.
It does. So the Jeskai one is... actually, the card that Gavin had been hinting at that said the first five letters of the name spells Gavin, it's Gavi Nest Warden. So for two, a blue, a red, and a white, you get a 2/5 human shaman that says you may pay 0 rather than pay the cycling cost of the first card you cycle each turn. Whenever you draw your second card each turn, create a 2/2 red and white dinosaur cat creature token. So
dinosaur cats.
Yeah, cycle cards, get value. Lots of other value built into the deck when you discard and draw.
Yes. I'll take your Abzan one. You know what's funny is there's probably people listening that are like, no, I'm really excited about that one. And I'm just, this reminds me so much of just, mechanic like throw up. It's like, yeah. Oh, look, I have all of them. So it's Cathral Aspect Warper. It is 2WB for a 3/3 legendary nightmare insect. And it says when Cathral Aspect Warper enters a battlefield, put a flying counter on any creature you control if a creature card in your graveyard has flying. Repeat this process for first strike, double strike, death touch, hexproof, indestructible, lifelink, menace, reach, trample, and vigilance. Then put a +1/+1 counter on Cathril for each counter put on a creature this way. So it's a little bit of keyword
soup.
Everything. Keyword soup.
That's what you've always called it to me before, at least.
It is. I couldn't think of it as I was saying it. And I was like, no, Coil's going to jump. He's going to jump. He's going to save me here. And then you didn't, but you did there.
I did.
This is like, is this, God, there's a card from Dragons of Tarkir, and it is a black card with Delve that feels like it fits well in this deck. But also then it doesn't, because you don't want to Delve any Soul Flayer. But it kind of doesn't work, because you want to keep the crap in your graveyard, not Delve it away.
Right.
So don't play that card in this deck. Soul Flayer, you don't want it in the deck, I don't think.
No, I mean, this is typically the keyword soup commanders. We know we saw that Saltai one from last year's in C19 from the Faceless Menace deck. The vampire that says whenever a creature dies, you exile it instead with a blood counter on it, and that commander has all the evergreen abilities of that creature that was exiled with a blood counter. So everything, every keyword soup, I mean, beside like Odric,
is that Lunark, wait, Marshall. what card is that?
It's the Saltai Vampire.
Why can I not even think of that? All I can think of is the Maricel deck from 2 years.
Starts with an R. My deck.
Oh, you're right. I can picture it now. The artwork.
Rayami, First of the Fallen.
Yes. Yes, that is a very much keyword soup card as well.
And like you said, Soul Flare, they all tend to want to exile cards in order to get the keywords. This is the first one that's graveyard. I know Odric, mono white, would be that you control on the battlefield at the current time. So that's another way to do the keyword soup. This is the first one in the graveyard, though. So I think it's the most abusable of all of them. And hopefully they finally make it work, because typically keyword soup commanders don't seem that great to me, at least. So
if you want all the keywords, have we got the deck for you.
Yeah, you got them. All right, the last commander is Jirini Kudrow, which is our Mardu commander. Uh-huh. Jirina Kudrow. For one, a red, white, and black, you get a 3/3 human soldier that says, when she enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 white human soldier creature token for each time you've cast a commander from the command zone this game. other humans you control get plus 2, plus 0. So first time you caster, you get 1, and so on and so forth. So not quite abusable with food chain like Prosh would be, but there's probably some ways to abuse it pretty good, I would imagine.
I think I'd put her inside of the Sylvar, Devourer of the Free, and Trin Champion of Freedom deck. Because for sure. You could cast each of those twice, and then when you cast Jirina, you get 4/1/1 soldiers then.
4/3/1 soldiers.
Well, they're 1/1s that get plus 2 plus L. Yes. No, I like these. I think I like Calamax and Gavi Nestwarden the most. You know, otherwise, I'm all about this partners with. Give me some partners with.
I'm trying to
think. How many of these partners with decks am I going to build? I say one, but I bet you it's going to be like 3.
It's going to be like all of them. Do you think any of these decks in particular like stand out to be the favorite, like if they all went up against each other?
So if you play with the face commanders, I feel like you're going to do the best with you know, looking at the deck lists. I think you're going to do really well with the humans or the cycling deck. That's just me. I could be completely wrong.
No, I'm with you. I actually agree 100%.
And I think that the next one would be Calamax, but the problem is if it's not tapped, you might not get the value you want. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Cathriel will do because you need the creature on the battlefield and then into the graveyard. And then the Sultai deck is a toss-up. You know, you can return a creature with mutate from your graveyard to your hand. And we know it's a pre-con, so they don't just stack them to be bonkers with the commander.
Right.
And it's a very specific requirement. It doesn't just work with any instant or sorcery like Calamax does, or work with humans, period. It's you have to have this one mechanic, and it's a brand new mechanic, so it's not going to be on a ton of cards, a decent amount. So I feel like the bottom two are Sultai and Abzan here.
I agree. I mean, I agree just because I think a mutate sub theme is borderline Voltron, like putting all of your eggs into one creature basket. I know you can do it to multiple creatures, but typically you're probably going to want to go tall and try to kill someone with your giant mutated creature. And target removal is a thing, and they printed it. So,
yeah. Well, we have two things left, right? We have a commander of the week, but there was an announcement on the Space Godzilla card, which is very interesting. So Space Godzilla has a in like the comics and the show, Space Godzilla has a breath beam called the Death Corona. So Space Godzilla was named Death Corona, obviously Corona a bunch of months ago when it was created and originally printed. It didn't mean what it means today. So they did a quick name change to Space Godzilla Void Invader. So on Arena, the name will be Void Invader. On MTGO, the prizes that are given out through the treasures are not actually going to drop this card. So you can't actually pull Space Godzilla Death Corona, and they will not be reprinting this card in paper. So Space Godzilla Death Corona will come out in the first printing only. So if you're a collector and you do expect to, you know, pull an expensive card, that's probably going to be one of them. You know, I get why they're doing it.
For sure. I mean, it seems kind of just insensitive for the time, but they didn't know that giant space cannon would have the same name as this virus that's being spread.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, it's nice that they actually recognized it and said, you know what, we're just going to change it and do the best we can. So commander of the week. So this one's going to be a little bit different. So we normally do a commander that we've already built or a friend has, and we talk about its strategy and how you win. And I decided that this week, since it's my turn for commander of the week, I was going to actually start brewing the new deck for Nakara and Yannick. So, like I said earlier, Nakara and Yannick care about counters. Nakara has whenever another creature you control leaves the battlefield, if it had a counter on it, period. It doesn't say a +1/+1 counter, it just says a counter, you draw a card and lose a life. And then Yannick exiles a creature and puts +1/+1 counters on target creatures, where X is the exiled creature's power, and it's a creature you control. So they do care inherently about +1/+1 counters. But, you know, I said, let's make this counters tribal. So as I started putting together my deck list, that does not at this point include all of the new cards that are actually coming out in the set. So I don't have, I'm not accounting for keyword counters. These are accounting for counters that already exist. I have 17 different types of counters represented. So I have a +1/+1, level, divinity, carrion, -1/-1, training, age, verse, prey, fate, currency, matrix, lore, wind, mannequin, and then I guess I did count vigilance. So it's 16, I believe, and then vigilance is one that is coming out. But I didn't account for the cards that give flying, trample, double strike, first strike, lifelink, hexproof, or indestructible counters. So I want to talk about a few of these cards because a lot of these cards are not played. So we've seen +1/+1. We've seen -1/-1. Level up counters is a specific type of counter. Obviously, we can play with cards like Jiraga Tree Speaker that you put level up counters to tap for mana once it's at level one. Hex Drinker is a card that came out in Modern Horizons. It levels up for one and it gets protection from instants and then protection from everything. Seems relevant in a deck that cares about just counters, period. but we've got some unique counters that you've probably never heard of. So there's a card called Osei Vultures for one and a white, and it is a flying 1/1 vulture. It's very old. And it says at the end of any turn in which a creature is put into the graveyard from play, put a carrion counter on vultures. And then you can pay 0 and remove 2 carrion counters to give vultures +1/+1 till end of turn.
Okay.
So
what, the payoffs.
I think this is really bad, but you know, you got to do it. The card's like 6 whole cents. Mm-hmm. Another counter that people don't really hear about is training counters. So there's a card, Sensei Golden Tail from the Kamigawa block. For 1 and a white, you get a 2/1 legendary fox samurai with Bushido 1. The Bushido doesn't really matter here. But you can pay 1 and a white and tap it to put a training counter on target creature. That creature gains Bushido 1, becomes a samurai in addition to its other creature types. And you can only do this at sorcery speed. So, you know, I'm going to play some samurais in this deck. And Bushido does say whenever this creature blocks or becomes blocked, it gets +1/+1 till end of turn. So the thing that matters is that it has a counter on it, period.
Yep.
Age counters do matter. So there are some cards that do put age counters on cards that have cumulative upkeep. So looking at any creature that has cumulative upkeep, counts for this. Like Sheltering Ancient is a 1 and a green for a 5/5 that has trample and cumulative upkeep. You put an age counter on it, and then you put a +1/+1 counter on a creature and opponent controls for each age counter on it. So a 5/5 for 2 is pretty relevant. And if opponents don't have +1/+1 counters on them, nothing gets bigger, but you still get your age counters.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Verse counters with Yisan the Wanderer Bard. So you can put a verse counter on it by paying 3 and tapping it and searching your library for a creature with CMC equal to those verse counters and just putting it onto the battlefield. Seems relevant because at least when Yisan dies, then if my commander Nakara is out, I lose a life and I can at least draw a card to replace the card that I just lost.
Right.
I think the card that I like the most is Tetsamok Primal Death from the Ixalan block. So it's an Elder Dinosaur that's a 6/6. For 4 black with Death Touch. But it has the ability to pay 1 black and reveal Tetsamok from your hand and you put a prey counter on target creature and you can only do this during your turn, which is fine. so you can put prey counters on your own creatures Tetsamok itself really wants to put prey counters on your opponent's creatures, because when you cast it, it says when Tetsamok enters the battlefield, destroy each creature your opponents control with a prey counter on it. But your commanders don't care about the type of counter really on your creature when it dies. That is Nakara. So you can put prey counters on your creatures to make sure you draw cards when they die. we have fate counters. Two of them. So you have that. There's the Myojins from the Kamigawa block. I have the green one in the deck because I feel like it is the one that I would want the most. So 6 green, green, green for an 8/8 spirit that has, when it comes into play, you put a divinity counter on it. It has indestructible as long as there's a divinity counter on it. And then you can remove a divinity counter from it to put any number of creatures from your hand directly into play.
Seems good.
Seems really good, you know? And then it's indestructible, but if for some reason it does, I guess, die, I can at least draw a card. But I have another way to put divinity counters on a card. There is an artifact that's called That Which Was Taken for 5 generic mana. It's a legendary artifact that says pay 4, tap it, put a divinity counter on target permanent other than that which was taken. Each permanent with the divinity counter on it has indestructible. So I can make my stuff indestructible. If that which was taken gets removed, at least there's a counter on my creature that matters for my commander. We also have an artifact called Life Matrix for 4 generic mana. You can pay 4 and tap it. During your upkeep, you put a counter on a creature. It's a matrix counter, and you can remove this counter at any time to regenerate that creature, or you can just leave it on the creature because it's a matrix counter.
Yeah, I mean, they gotta have the counter.
They gotta have the counter.
Every creature will be Neo because they're in the matrix.
They're in the matrix. We have a reanimate spell, makeshift mannequin. For 3 and a black, you return a creature from your graveyard to the battlefield, and you put a mannequin counter on it. For as long as it has a mannequin counter on it, it has when this creature becomes a target of a spell or ability, sacrifice it. So it's a reanimate spell conditionally that puts a pretty terrible ability on your creature. You never want it to become the target of a spell or ability to sack it. That's kind of like the illusion ability. Mm-hmm. But it's a type of counter. -1/-1 counters matter. I do right now in this build have Micaeus, the Unhallowed, to give your creatures undying. So if they don't have a +1/+1 counter on them when they die, you return them to the battlefield with a counter on them. Seems like an auto include for this deck.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have the card Cauldron Haze for 1 and an Orzhov, so white or black. An instant says choose any number of creatures and they gain persist. So when they're put into the graveyard, if they didn't have a minus counter on them, return them to play with a -1/-1 counter on them. So they're a little weaker, but they still come back to give you more value in the future.
Yeah. And I know you play Cauldron of Souls as well, which does a very similar thing, but repeatable.
Same thing. Yep. Choose any number of target creatures and they gain persist until end of turn. So this will allow them to come back as well. Now, there's a couple of cards that the thing is, I haven't really found the payoff yet, right? I don't know how I'm going to necessarily win. I don't know if I want to go with the Blood Artist type triggers, Blood Artist and Zulaport Cutthroat and all of those types of deals. Obviously, a lot of my creatures are dying, so it's probably the best way to go. But I do have... a few other counters that I wanted to mention. There's a card called Freyalise's Winds. It's a really bad card. I'm just going to mention it. So 2 green, green. Whenever a permanent becomes tapped, you put a wind counter on it. So period. This is for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it says, permanents with any wind counters on them don't untap during their controller's untap phase. Instead, remove all the wind counters from those permanents. So it's like your, what's that mechanic from Amonkhet that you like took a turn off?
Exert.
It's like you're exerting everything when you tap it with Freyalise's Winds, but you get a wind counter. I'm not going to play this card, I don't think. But it puts wind counters on shit.
I mean, you got to have your wind counters.
Gotta have wind counters.
If there's a way you can give all of your creatures vigilance all the time, just like with Exert, you can avoid
it. True. Okay, so another really bad counter. Trade Caravan. It's a 1-1 for one white from Homelands, and it's a summon caravan. It says, during your upkeep, put a currency counter on caravan. So we got currency counters going on, and you can pay zero and remove two currency counters from Trade Caravan to untap a target basic land only during your opponent's upkeep.
This is Sky. It's just like the further you read, the worse the card gets. It just keeps getting worse.
It's so horrendous. But you got to put it in here, right? So really, I focused a lot on Nakara more than I did on Yannick, right? So Yannick wants to exile a creature and put +1/+1 counters on them, but Nakara just cares about when your creatures die, you mm-hmm. lose life and draw a card. So losing life is definitely going to be a problem. So you can play cards like Ashes of the Aberrant or the new card Bastion of Remembrance. So it says whenever a creature dies, you gain one life. So you can negate the loss of life, mm-hmm. which I think is going to be very important in this deck. There's also the card Kiru Bloodsucker from the cons block for 2 and a black. It's a 2/2 that says whenever a creature you control with toughness 4 or greater dies, each opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. And then you can sack a creature to put a +1/+1 counter on Kiru Bloodsucker. You know, I haven't been able to go through and figure out whether or not I have like a sub theme of creatures with toughness 4 or greater yet, but I threw it into the deck on Archidect, which right now is at 106 cards without the commander, because I have to start cutting and trying to figure out what I want. But, you know, hopefully that could, you know, mitigate some life loss. And then there's other cards that help to get counters without having to waste it on maybe a silly card, like Curse of Perdition, which is a curse. So you enchant a player that has whenever a creature attacks the enchanted player, you put a +1/+1 counter on it. So you can hopefully try to make someone else the target for a minute, and then you can swing at them to get your counters.
I think this was a great addition. I don't think this was part of the list yesterday that you showed me. And I kept seeing it, and I'm like, that'd be a good card for this deck, and I'd just go right past it. So
yeah, so this card's really good. I think I added today as well Feast of the Fallen. At the beginning of each upkeep, if an opponent lost life last turn, you put a +1/+1 counter on one of your creatures. So it's just an enchantment that kind of sits out there. And then I think one of the cards that I hadn't initially looked at and I realize now works really well but might be a little ridiculous is the Ozolith. So it's a legendary artifact. I didn't mention it because I wanted to talk about it now, but it's a legendary artifact for 1 generic mana that says whenever a creature you control leaves the battlefield, if it had counters, put those counters on Ozolith. And then at the beginning of combat on your turn, if the Ozolith has counters on it, you can move all counters from the Ozolith onto target creature.
Okay.
So if I'm bouncing a creature away that had a counter on it with Yannick, I can store them on Ozolith. And then at combat, I move all those counters onto another target creature. So I just feel like I'm going to have like Carrion counters, Mannequin counters, Prey counters, Inverse counters move to the Ozolith, and I have to find a way to track those 4 different types of counters and then move them to target creature.
Yeah.
But it seems like it has to be an auto include in this deck. Like, I need all the counters to stay no matter what, so I might as well just throw them onto this. So, like I said, I don't know if I have a win con yet. There might be something in here that is a win con.
Might I suggest a win con to you?
A
very old favorite of mine, you may remember, called Thief of Blood.
I thought about Thief of Blood because I can steal all counters.
it does have flying, and it will be 100-100, basically.
Oh, gross. I do have some of the cards that have Outlast, where each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it has lifelink. or you give them hex proof, or you give them, you know, whatever it is. But I'm not necessarily focusing just on plus one counters, although that's likely the easiest one to put on the creature.
Sure.
I think I might need the Abzan Battle Priest specifically to make sure I don't just die. Otherwise, I'm going to continue working on this to figure out what my win con is. But I feel like this is going to be a really fun deck, and I'm going to have to find a way to make counters, especially if I'm streaming with this deck or playing Paper Magic on webcam. I have no idea how anyone's going to be able to track what counters I have on things. This might be a nightmare for webcam commander.
Maybe you'll have to hop on Etsy or something and find someone who's making specific counters. And I've seen it on the Magic subreddit. Some people are making their own clay or marble counters and something like that
too. Okay. Yeah. No, that's a good idea.
I mean, you're still going to have, 14 different types of counters to put on things, but
So stay tuned. I know I posted a thread on Twitter the other day, and I was like, these are the cards I'm excited to play in this deck. They're probably not great, but here they are. But you know, you play Commander with me and you get to play with Carrion, Matrix, and currency counters. So watch out. We got the hot counters over here.
Watch out.
But I think that's the end of our show this week. So we want to thank you all for listening.
Thanks.
If you want to contact us, you can find our podcast on Twitter at GuardianPod. You can find me at ATFlory.
You can find me at WormcoilEngine.
And take a look for hashtag GuardianProjectPod to find our posts and episodes. We'd like to hear from you, so send along any comments and topics you'd like us to talk about, and we'll go over those on the next episode. You can also email us at GuardianProjectPod@gmail.com. I think that's it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you next week, I'm sure, about more Commander decks that we're building, because it's that time of year.
Yeah, it's that time of year. Give me more money, please, so I can build more decks.
Money, please. Good stuff.